Welcome to the UFO File Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, back here at the Cover Up Cafe, and we're doing our 60th anniversary shows. And I wanted to tell you right off the bat that we've had a lot of fun here at Cover Up Cafe, and the food is delicious. Just had one of those Swiss bacon burgers, and it was delicious. I'd like to thank Gene Fraser, Linda Armstrong, and everybody involved with the Cover Up Cafe for great hospitality. Speaking of hospitality, the South is known for good hospitality, and this man's from Middleton, Tennessee, is that right?
Middle Tennessee. Right.
Okay, and it's in the middle of Tennessee, I bet. Right.
I guess I should not shirk my mother's or my family's hometown, Gallatin, Tennessee.
And, okay.
I'm not from there,
I know where that is. Harry Dale Huffman is our guest, and you've got an e-book out, and it's also being published by Lulu.
That's right.
And
on
demand. Same publisher that publishes Farah Yudaza's book, who works with us on our staff.
Oh,
so
that's good.
We feel like we're already in good company.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about why you're here in Roswell.
I'm just trying to meet the nice people here, basically, and get out into the world and see if I can make connections and interest anybody in what I've done.
And we're going to talk about what you've done, and it's an interesting idea, concept, theory, hypothesis. How would you like to refer to it as?
The first big discovery I call the Great Mapping, so that's a fair. I also call it the Design of the Gods in that booklet you're holding.
Yes, and that is the name of the book. And when we talk about that, what do you mean the Design of the Gods? They designed what planet Earth is all about?
Well, amazingly, the surface of the Earth, the shapes and positions of the land masses on the Earth were changed less than 20,000 years ago by the gods, by the people known as gods.
Tell me, how do you know this?
I found their design, and it told me. It immediately began to answer the motivation behind just about every ancient mystery that I've studied so far, every ancient tradition. Every wisecrack of old seems to have been motivated by this design, this great redesign of the Earth and solar system.
So in other words, it was here before 20,000 years ago, and it was actually reconfigured.
That's right. I don't want people to mistake it for creation. It was a redesign, not a creation. On the other hand, ancient man did, I think, afterwards, after the gods were long gone and they didn't know any better, didn't know what they had, they confused it with the original creation, just as they confused the deeds of the gods with God.
Tell me a little bit about this book. It's literally a map in many ways.
Yes, the gods remade the land masses to have certain forms, and those forms show many creature-like images. They also formed the constellations in the sky, so that they could match forms in the sky to forms on the earth and tell a story, thereby communicate a story.
I mean, did you read ancient articles or script?
Oh, yes. I've read various mythological traditions, the Greek canon and
So you went to the Greek mythology and other mythologies?
Yes, that's not originally what I did. I'm a scientist. I'm a physicist. I have a master's in physics and 25 years of varied experience in math and physics. And I wanted to do an objective study, scientific study of the night sky to see if I could find possible clues to the ancient obsessions that have haunted and shadowed mankind throughout history.
So you went out there and you started searching this
started
idea.
I was looking basically for something as obvious in the sky as the Great Pyramid is on the ground. And to make a long story short, I found it.
Where is it?
There, the center of the design in the sky is a truncated pyramid shape, a rhombus, centered on the ecliptic north pole in the celestial sphere.
Would if I went out here and looked at the sky tonight, could I see that?
Well, you'd have to figure out where the ecliptic North Pole is.
Well, that was what I was hinting at. Gee, let me look here.
I hadn't
thought of that.
What
do you mean by that statement?
Well, the Earth orbits the Sun in a plane, an unchanging plane,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And that plane is called the ecliptic plane because that's the plane that the Sun, Moon, and Earth have to all be in order to make an eclipse.
So most people, to make it understandable, I guess we're talking about they're all circling on the same level.
That's right. And most of the planets orbit in just about the same plane as the Earth,
mm-hmm.
So that ecliptic plane defines the orientation of the entire solar system. And it's like you know how to make a top out of a thin disk and like a toothpick? The thin disk would be the ecliptic plane, and the toothpick, one end of the toothpick would be the pole of the ecliptic. One would be the ecliptic North Pole, and the other end of the toothpick would be the ecliptic South Pole.
So we're talking about not the North and South Pole of the Earth, but the solar system.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And so the North Pole will be out by Mars someplace, or where?
Well, it's Earth is tilted. Its spin axis is tilted with respect to the ecliptic axis by 23.5 degrees, so it would be 23.5 degrees from the celestial North Pole. The Earth is like a giant top spinning as it goes around the Sun, and its spin axis is always 23.5 degrees away from that ecliptic axis.
You know, I guess I'm just too provincial on this. We're trying to figure out.
I have a terrible time trying to get this
across. From the ecliptic North Pole, is that east, west, south?
The Earth's North Pole points to the celestial North Pole on the celestial sphere. And
So if I were flying an airplane or had a dog sled on the North Pole point,
right.
Look straight up.
Right,
then,
you would see the celestial North Pole.
And how far would that be from me?
It's an indefinitely far.
Okay, just
it's undefined.
Forever.
Well, yes, basically it's forever or just a very long distance.
Yeah. So the Alpha Omega might have been talking about the poles.
It could be. It could be. Or he could have been talking about.
I'm still
about
trying to wrap my mind around this, but
I
like the idea.
I know we're doing
but
this a cappella.
I can't really say it's sitting out there by Saturn or down by Pluto or wherever. Huh?
It's the constellation Draco surrounds the ecliptic North Pole. As a matter of fact, in ancient times, the Draco was the winding serpent that twined around both the ecliptic pole and the celestial pole. So it's the twining serpent, the Leviathan of the Bible.
And this is made up of many stars, so it's huge.
That's right. And the ecliptic North Pole is in the middle of the first loop of the constellation Draco. So that's
okay,
where you look.
Okay, well, there you have it, folks. Go get your star maps and start checking this out. I don't doubt that you're a scientist now. You've really
I've screwed the.
But you're doing well. I do have at least a concept.
Thank you very much.
And I'm very interested in this subject, period. So if they designed it, or redesigned it, really.
That's right.
What was it like before? Do we have any clues?
Yes, they put enough shapes in the sky and Earth to enable not just one mapping, but a series of mappings. And one bunch of those mappings shows where the former ecliptic pole was, the former orientation of the solar system.
Is it far away from this one?
Ooh, I don't have that off the tip of my tongue, but
uh-huh.
Yes, it's a good ways.
Yeah, okay.
It was, you would have to find the constellation Crater, and it was next to the constellation Crater. And now it's in the middle of Draco.
Now, you know, we talk about these poles, North Pole, South Pole, immediately here on Earth. We have that, and I think, you know, a lot of people talk about, a polar shift is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that they had a polar galactic shift.
A designed one, yes.
A design.
And
who designs this?
All the ancient traditions say the gods.
And so you have to leave it at that.
I have to leave it at that. Those traditions are all I have, all the testimony I have.
So when you talk about that and you approach this from a scientific basis, and then you go take a look at some of the religious teachings of many religions and many tenets and many ideas.
That's right.
And mysticism, and you throw all of this in. Mm-hmm. There's probably a little bit of truth in all of it.
Yes.
But based on something.
They are all motivated by that same design. Now, I was talking about the celestial North Pole circling the ecliptic North Pole, and I call that the precession circle, because it's due to the Earth's precession.
Now, define for our listeners what the celestial North Pole is.
That's the projection of the Earth's own North Pole on the celestial sphere. So like you say, if you're with your sled dogs at the North Pole and look straight up, you're looking right at the celestial North Pole on the celestial sphere.
And so, if we had a polar shift here on the planet Earth, all of a sudden Hawaii, you might have 30-degree below weather.
Oh, yeah.
Or more, worse than that.
Uh-huh.
The ice would push the tidal waves up.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, the polar bears would be wearing hula skirts if they could survive.
Right.
What happens in this galaxy situation or this intergalactic shift? I imagine that had an impact on planets.
Well,
sun star systems.
My finding that everything was designed kind of indicates that things like that don't happen. That any shifts in the past were designed, they weren't calamitous, although they might have had, they certainly did, according to the traditions, had calamitous effects upon mankind, but they were planned. It wasn't just your errant asteroid or meteor coming in and tearing up the world. It was the gods remaking the world.
Are we in for another shift? It's hard to tell, probably.
I see no indication of that. Mm-hmm. I can tell you when the Earth first began.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
You know, I was getting to 2012 and all those words. So does that have anything to do with that at all?
No, not really.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell me what you suggested was a lot better. Tell me about that.
What were we doing now?
I lost the thread. And when it began.
I can tell you when they did this reformation of the solar system and when the Earth first began precessing around our current ecliptic North Pole. When the current orientation of the solar system was done and the Earth began precessing around it, that was about 15,000 B.C.
So, and do you have any indication of how many of these shifts we've had?
I've identified three ecliptic axes in the past.
Really?
That's right.
And
the first would have been parallel to the galactic axis. So the first axis was just everything aligned with the galaxy.
Yeah, what I'm getting at is there a certain period of time that these things happen again, or does the gods suddenly have a meeting and say it's time to design a ship?
Apparently that's it.
That's the way it happened.
The gods just took it in their heads that they wanted to transmit some messages to mankind in the future,
You're here in Roswell, and we talk about the UFO crash 60 years ago. It is possible, when I think about it, that perhaps in ancient times extraterrestrials landed and they'd be called gods. But you more or less think they are gods.
Well, they had the power to convince mankind. I don't even know how the term gods came about, but
I'm not trying to get you into a theological debate at all. I'm just kind of curious about gods.
Uh-huh.
I can understand
they had the power to remake the world, and of course while they were still flying around and men could see them moving against the stars,
mm-hmm.
that led them to know that the god's home was up there. And so
that's how we started talking about the gods live in heaven.
And when they remade the solar system, they began to see the planets in their new orbits. And just as they could see the lighted ships of the gods moving around before, now they could see the planets moving. And the planets in their new orbits were termed the birth of the new gods. They were identified as the new gods.
Harry Dale Huffington... Huffman, I'm sorry. Harry Dale Huffman is our guest, That's okay. Jane Swartley over there made me sound like $1 million. She'll take that out.
Okay.
I'll sound very positive.
That's fine.
I'm going to do it one more time so she gets it right.
Okay, Huffington.
No, that's and Harry Dale Huffman.
That's right.
It's a great joy having you here. I want to ask you, why did you do all of this research? What drove you to do this? This is an interesting subject, but it's not something you think about every day.
No. I had done some important research at a job that I had 13 to 15 years ago, and I got ahead of my superiors on that one, so I lost that job after. But
that,
not before.
That happens too. And a lot of people, unless they've experienced that, they don't really believe that happens.
But right. It happens a lot.
Right. There is a pecking order, and it's not necessarily just to who's someplace, pay scales, etc. If you're under somebody and you know a little more than them, unfortunately, mankind likes to try to get rid of you.
That's right. That's
they
very right.
They try to protect their
But I didn't
want
to dwell on the negative.
Yeah.
Once I was terminated...
So this actually turned your life around.
It gave me the opportunity to do my own research, and this came along.
Before the dawn,
that's
and you
right.
saw dawn, and you started
That's
doing
exactly
this.
It. Yeah. That's exactly it.
And you've always been interested in this subject, more or less, I guess.
So far, you're right on the money.
Uh-huh.
I found the time to do anything I wanted, and this had been a long time interest. And I looked long enough and hard enough and patiently enough, and found the key, that design around the ecliptic North Pole. And from there, things just started.
Okay, you found the key. You unlock what? The knowledge, fountain of knowledge, or the universe, or what's happening?
The key to the ancient mysteries. All of the peoples of the earth, for example, talked about the home of the gods, and they said it was in heaven and in the sky, and heaven was the celestial sphere in that regard. And as a matter of fact, the specific references to heaven in all the mythological canons allow one to identify that area on the celestial sphere, and it is the precession circle.
So you're telling me that you know where the location of what they thought was heaven.
That's right, what the gods told
them. Yes, yes.
And it was just in order to point to man where the center of the design was, really, to show him the center of how everything moved and was put together in our corner of the universe.
Now, what are you going to be doing next? You're out meeting people about this book, I guess, right now.
That's right.
And
I've given myself a little vacation. I'm just trying to meet a nicer form of humanity here, and I've certainly done it, and I'm thrilled.
So your experience in Roswell has been pretty nice.
Yes, it has. Yes.
A lot of people are surprised when they come to these things. They think they're going to see a bunch of people who are interested in carnivals and playtime, and they end up seeing people who are pretty deep thinkers.
Oh yes, there are a lot of serious alternative researchers out there, and they've done great work. I think you've had Lloyd Pye on. He's a recent friend of mine in the last year.
Right, and he's done some interesting research. Did you do anything down at the UFO Museum, or just go down and see Lloyd?
I just saw whatever they had available down there.
Yeah, right.
And enjoyed a lot of it. Saw Ann Robinson from the War of the Worlds fame.
Oh, yes. Ann was on her show.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was here to see that.
Yeah, right. And so, I think the UFO Museum is doing very good work.
Yes, this, really, my experience in both venues, both the convention
that's
center
what
one
get to,
and the UFO
the city
Museum.
Of Roswell, mm-hmm. and Guy Malone and his group.
That's right.
They're doing a great job out there at the Civic Center.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
It's really a very positive experience. I hope they do it
completely
again.
Completely. And I do. I echo that.
Anything you'd like to bring out that I haven't? I just haven't talked to anybody recently about the celestial North Pole, so forgive me if I sounded a little puzzled.
Oh no, it hits just about everybody that way, and you've reacted very nicely to it, as a matter of fact, compared to many others, to many scientists who are closed-minded.
So there are people in the scientific community that just won't buy what you're saying. For what reason, do you think?
A very good reason. I was kind of cloistered in my research. I wasn't looking at what other people had done or were doing. I worked in an atmosphere of discovery, as I put it in my book. And unfortunately, I found this great design just when science was closing itself rather violently and completely to the idea of intelligent design of the world. So there's no way I can get a scientific hearing.
So you're going with intelligent design.
Although I'm not the intelligent design theory. I'm not that.
That right. I wanted to make that clear.
That's because, right. And I'm not a creationist right. in that sense. What I've found is a recreation, a redesign of things.
Why do you think they redesigned it? I mean, was it just not working before? Or?
Well, now you're getting into very heavy thinking indeed, and you do unavoidably have to touch on the religious beliefs.
Okay, well, this is kind of an intertwined subject, even though
I come to the conclusion in my last chapter, I dare to address the failings or what I consider the limitations of both science and religion today, and I lost the train of my thought here. Give me a second.
Yeah, we're talking about intelligent design and religion, and you're not a creationist, and
that's
whether
right.
or not there's a theory of why do they have to redesign it and who's in charge. And whether or not this is a religious function or what does it...
And the bottom line is I think the gods had a religious message to put forward to man, and they wanted to make sure that it was understood to be all-important. Behind that, I think, was their understanding that there is a higher reality than our physical reality here on Earth, and they wanted to make sure man knew that.
And I don't know if man's caught on yet or not.
Well, he says he has innumerable times, and then he goes out and kills, you know, his brother. And
yeah, that's true. So we might be in for another redesign.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be. Now, the ancients would say definitely cyclic.
Yeah. Okay, Harry Dale Huffman, the name of the book is?
The End of the Mystery, meaning the Ancient Mysteries.
Is this an expensive book?
I'm afraid it is at present. It's only, on-demand publishers only print what copies a person orders, and it's in color. I did it so that it would be attractive, and so I made over 200 nice color illustrations for it, and in that version it costs about $60. It's available in black and white for about $26.
Okay. So as we get the word out, people are really interested in it. You have a website that they can go visit, I think.
Yes, they can go to www.lulu.com/HDHsciences.
We have a link to that, of course, and we'll talk to you again.
Well, thank you.
I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you
very much for coming in.
Thanks for having
me.
Cover
Up Cafe.
The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers. UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.